Pharaoh couldn't destroy them. Goliath couldn't wipe them out. Hitler couldn't annihilate them. And the Antichrist is not going to succeed in destroying Israel, because Jesus Christ himself will come to fight for his people.
Hello and welcome to Living God's Way, coming to you from the Germantown Christian Assembly in the Mount Airy section of Philadelphia. In an age when many are abandoning Christian values, Pastor Brian Grant's expository preaching from the timeless Word of God will remind us that the best way to live is to live God's way. This evening, we will hear another in our series of messages by Pastor Brian Grant and Dr. Raphael Thomas on the Book of Revelation. The minister of the Word this evening is Dr. Thomas, who will bring to our attention the important figures and personages of the tribulation period. Remember, we of the Church of Jesus Christ will not be here, but the Spirit of God wants us to know something of what the unbelieving world will face after the rapture. So we invite you to listen as Dr. Thomas brings the first part of his message, Who's Who in the End Times Drama. Here is Dr. Thomas.
We have been studying the book of Revelation. And as I studied the book of Revelation, I remember the story of the father who asked his daughter, "Honey, why is it that the whiskey bottle is half empty?" And the daughter said, "Papa, that's because you're a pessimist." As we read the book of Revelation, some people are pessimistic, but some can be optimistic. And, you know, sometimes preachers are given the privilege to make words. So I will spell optimistic with U-P instead of O-P. Because I am optimistic. I look forward to that time when the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout and with the voice of the archangel and the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. And we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. So the period that we are looking at, the tribulation, that 7 years of intense suffering on the earth. And the latter part of that 7 years, the 3.5 years, where it becomes so intense. The people of God can be optimistic because we are not going to be around for those days. This week, I would like to draw our attention to two chapters in Revelation, chapters 12 and 13, as we look at who is who in the end times drama. And we would like to look at 7 key players in this drama. So look with me now at Revelation chapter 12. And we hope to cover 12 and 13 this week. It says, "Now a great sign appeared in heaven." We are at Revelation chapter 12. "A great sign appeared in heaven." The word "sign" is important for John. John built his gospel, the book of John, around 7 signs. Here in Revelation, John uses the word "sign" a lot as well. But a sign is something which points to something else. John uses signs and symbols to communicate his message. A symbol is used to represent something else. So let's bear that in mind as we look at some of these signs and symbols. "Now a great sign appeared in heaven, a woman clothed with the sun." So the first sign that we will look at is that woman clothed with the sun, with the moon under her feet and on her head a garland of 12 stars. Then being with child, she cried out in labor and in pain to give birth. Now, who is this woman? Some have suggested that it is Mary that finds the least support in Scripture. Some have suggested that it is the church, but it is most likely, from the evidence of Scripture, to be Israel. Now a great sign appeared in heaven, a woman clothed with the sun, with the moon under her feet, and on her head a garland of 12 stars. You see, what John does is that he gives us clues, he gives us hints, he appeals to things that people knew, who knew the Scriptures, that they could identify what he was talking about. And this is a reference to the nation of Israel based on Joseph's dream in Genesis chapter 37, where Joseph dreamt that he saw the sun and the moon and the stars bowing down. Now, this is what he appeals to. So it is a reference to Israel. Israel will be a key player in the end times. If we want to understand biblical prophecy, we have to keep our eyes on Israel, because Israel plays a key role in God's plan. He called Israel to declare his power and his glory to the nations. He says Israel was chosen to be a light to the nations. And from Genesis chapter 12, when God called Abraham, he says, "Abraham, I'm going to bless you. I am going to make your name great. Those who bless you will be blessed, and those who curse you will be cursed." We are told in Scripture to pray for the peace of Jerusalem. Israel still has a place in God's plan. And in the last days, it is going to come into sharp focus. In fact, the Bible tells us in Matthew 24, 32 to 35, "Learn this parable from the fig tree. When its branch has already become tender and puts forth leaves, you know that summer is near. So you also, when you see all these things, know that it is near, at the doors. Assuredly, I say to you, this generation will by no means pass away till all these things take place. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will by no means pass away." Israel is the fig tree in Scripture. And if we look at the history of Israel, Israel was destroyed as a nation in AD 70. And for almost 2,000 years, Israel was not a nation. But in 1948, Israel became a nation again. It is the budding of the fig tree. And things are going to start falling quickly into place as time winds down and as God brings history to a climax. God is still in control. And so here Israel is depicted as this woman coming sharply into focus. God has a plan for Israel. Even after the church is taken away, God is going to deal with his people, because he still loves his people. They are the apple of his eyes. He called them to declare himself to the nations. And throughout history, nations have tried to eliminate the Jewish people. But God has miraculously intervened over the years and preserved them. Pharaoh couldn't destroy them. Goliath couldn't wipe them out. Hitler couldn't annihilate them. And the Antichrist is not going to succeed in destroying Israel, because Jesus Christ himself will come to fight for his people. Now, as we look at Israel, we see the love of God and the power of God manifested in such a marvelous way. Although Israel sinned, although Israel played the harlot with God, he said, I will still remarry Israel. I will forgive your sins. I will still return to you. Ezekiel was given the vision to see a synopsis of what God would do for Israel. In Ezekiel chapter 37, God gave him a vision of the valley of dry bones. And he said, Son of man, what do you see? He said, I see a valley of dry bones, and they are very dry. They are very many, and they are very dry. And he said, prophesy to them. Because he asked them the question, can these dry bones live again? And as he began to prophesy, there began to be movement. Because there is power in the word of God. Creative power in the word of God. And as he spoke the word of God, the dry bones began to put on flesh. The dry bones eventually became alive again and stood upright. I want to say to somebody today that God is still able to cause dry bones to live again. If God could revive and restore a nation after approximately 2,000 years of non-existence, God is able to turn it around for you, my friend. For he is able to do exceedingly abundantly above what you can ask or think. He is still the miracle working God. He can restore your family. He can heal your body. He can change your circumstances. He is God Almighty, a God who is still upon his throne and a God who remembers his own. He is the God who can make something out of nothing. He is the God who went to the grave of Lazarus. And when they were weeping, and when they said, if you were here, my brother would not have died. Jesus said, don't worry about that. Just show me where you laid him. I want somebody to show it to Jesus today. Because he is the God who can visit that grave. He is the God who can revive and restore and redeem. He is the God who can make the dead to live again and to cause us to vibrate with life that comes from heaven. And he went to that tomb and he says, Lazarus, come forth. And Lazarus, who was dead and decomposing, came back to life again. He said, I want somebody to know I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whoso liveth and believeth in me shall never die. I want to encourage somebody today. All is not lost because God is still on his throne. God can enter your circumstance today and turn it around. Somebody says he's the all-time undefeated, undisputed champion of God. His name is Jesus. God restored Israel, and God will preserve Israel. Even in the time of the tribulation, God will take care of Israel. Last week I mentioned that some persons will be saved during the tribulation. Let me say this is no excuse to wait until then. Because there is no guarantee, even now, that if you hear the gospel of Jesus Christ, you will hear it again. He says, today, if you hear his voice, harden not your heart. As in the provocation in the day of temptation in the wilderness, when your fathers tempted me, proved me, and saw my works 40 years. Wherefore I was grieved with that generation and said, they do always err in their hearts, and they have not known my ways. So I swear in my wrath, they shall not enter into my rest. If you hear the voice of God and you resist the voice of God, there is no guarantee that you will hear God's voice again. Now is the acceptable time. Now is the day of salvation. So the first sign we see there is the sign of the woman. In verse 3, it says, "And another sign appeared in heaven. Behold, a great fiery red dragon having 7 heads and 10 horns, and 7 diadems on his head. His tail drew a third of the stars of heaven and threw them to the earth. And the dragon stood before the woman who was ready to give birth, to devour her child as soon as it was born. She bore a male child who was to rule all nations with a rod of iron. And her child was caught up to God and his throne." We stop there for a while. The second player is that dragon. And we looked at the dragon last week. Satan himself. You see, sometimes we are left to put the clues together. But sometimes John tells us clearly what the sign is. And we are told clearly in chapter 12, verse 9, who this dragon is. If we just slip down to verse 9, it says, "So the great dragon was cast out," and it defines him for us, "that serpent of old called the devil and Satan, who deceives the whole world. He was cast to the earth, and his angels were cast out with him." So the angel Michael fought and cast the dragon out of heaven. He is come down to earth making war with the saints. And we looked at the war last week. But this dragon is Satan himself. And it says, "And another sign appeared," verse 3, "a great fiery dragon having 7 heads and 10 horns." The 7 heads, 10 horns, 10 crowns is also a reference to Daniel 7, 7 to 8, as well as verses 20 to 24. The 7 heads are believed to be a reference to the 7 nations that have ruled the world. The last one so far is Rome. And coming after Rome is what is believed to be the revived Roman Empire. So we are getting a glimpse of the 7 kingdoms with these 7 heads coming into focus in the last days. You may remember from world history or from a study of Daniel that Daniel saw this figure and he saw the different kingdoms. In one dream, he saw 4 kingdoms. He saw Babylon, Medo-Persia, the Greeks, and the Romans. Before that, we have the Assyrians and Egypt. So 7 nations ruling the earth in at different periods in history. But one of the key things that Daniel saw was that a stone was cut out of the mountain. And it came and it hit that image that represented the different nations. And it crushed that image. And it became a huge mountain. So we see that God is going to enter into the scene, destroying all the earthly powers and authorities and set up his own kingdom. Because Revelation tells us the kingdoms of this world have become the kingdom of our Lord and Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever. There is a God who is in charge of history that will bring to naught all human governments, because the government shall be upon his shoulder, and to his kingdom there shall be no end. God is showing us that Jesus Christ himself will enter the scene and destroy all human governments. For he is God Almighty, creator and sustainer and Lord of the universe. We see also mention of a child, the mention of the child there is the third one that we will see. And it says, as soon as the child was born, that child who will rule all nations with a rod of iron, the child was caught up to God and his throne. Now, at the birth of Christ, Satan had a plan to kill that child. Remember, Herod sent out a decree to kill all the baby boys. I believe this is a reference to the child who was being targeted by Satan. So what we see John doing, making connections with history, using images which people were familiar with in history to bring into focus what he was speaking about. It is clear, as John made it clear himself here, he gives us the answer, this child is Christ. Jesus Christ, born of a woman, the seed of the woman, Jesus Christ, a descendant of the Jewish nation, came into this world to fulfill divine purpose. It says he will rule with a rod of iron, a reference to Psalm 2, 7 to 9. The Bible says, thy throne, O God, is forever and ever. A scepter of righteousness is a scepter of thy kingdom. For thou hast loved righteousness and hated iniquity. Therefore, God, even thy God, has anointed thee with the oil of gladness above thy fellows. This is a reference to the Christ who was in heaven. He became a human being. He was born of a virgin. He was prophesied to rule with a rod of iron. He is the one who defeated Satan at the cross. You know, Satan met him at the temptation. And Satan tried even there to distort his purposes. He said, cast yourself down. But God said, Christ said to him, thou shalt worship the living God, and him only shalt thou serve. All that the enemy tried to do to distort the purpose of God could not succeed. And up on the cross, Jesus cried, it is finished. The work that the Father gave him to do was completed. He said, my meat is to do the will of the Father and to finish that task which he has given me to do. This little child who came into this world, grew up, fulfilled the task that the Father gave him. He died and rose again from the dead. And the Bible says, and her child was caught up to God and his throne. I believe a reference to the ascension of Christ, resurrection and ascension of Christ. Christ is victorious over the dragon. For as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took part of the same, that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is the devil, and deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. Hebrews 2, 14 and 15. So we see the woman as one player in the end times drama. We see the dragon, who is Satan, who will be waging war against the plans and purposes of God and against the people of God. We see the male child, who is Christ, Jesus Christ, comes into very sharp focus. And you will hear some more about his second coming, where he is going to come to bring the conflict to a head and totally destroy the enemy.
My friend, Jesus loves you so much that if you were the only person in the whole world, he would have died just for you. No matter what you've done, Jesus wants to save you. He wants to forgive you today. You say, Pastor Grant, what do I need to be saved? You simply need to trust the Lord Jesus, repent of your sin, and turn to him. You may pray a simple prayer like this. Dear God, I'm a sinner and need your forgiveness. Thank you that Jesus died for my sins. Please cleanse me from all my sin. I receive Jesus Christ into my heart as my personal Savior and Lord. Please help me to live for you from this day forward. Amen. And my friend, if you pray a simple prayer like that and mean it, God will hear you and He will answer your prayer and He will save you. I hope you'll do that right now.
Thanks for tuning in today. If you received Christ or if this program was a blessing, it would be a great encouragement to hear from you. You may call us at 215-887-4750 or visit our website, livinggodsway.org. That's livinggodsway.org. And remember to ask for our daily devotional, The Word for You Today. We'd also invite your partnership in this life-changing ministry. Gifts can be made through our website or by writing to us at 610 East Mount Pleasant Avenue, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, 19119. The address again is 610 East Mount Pleasant Avenue, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, 19119. We invite you to join us for worship this Sunday at 10:45 a.m. It will certainly be a pleasure to meet you. Now, until next week, on behalf of Pastor Grant and our entire church family, this is Steve Washington reminding you that there's no better way to live than to live God's way.